The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Good afternoon and welcome to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're streaming live on www.focusonfemales.com. And this radio healthcare clinic is being brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, who also brings you the annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, which is scheduled for March 21st, 2009. That's our fourth annual Women's Healthcare Symposium. It'll be at the Tampa Convention Center on Saturday, March 21st, 2009, and it is completely free for the seminars, the exercise classes, the chair massages, and the healthcare screenings. Together, these educational programs are designed to make you a lay expert in your medical or on your medical problems. This will enable you to better partner with your existing physician, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and, as importantly, reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. This week's dry eye tip, last week I had a patient come to me. She was in her 40s, and she had irritated eyes for months, being treated with eye drops without improvement. She was suggested, it was suggested to her to come to me for a second opinion, and indeed, she had very severe dry eyes with signs on her surface of her eye of what's called erosions. Testing suggested that she has a systemic disease called Sjogren's syndrome. We coordinated her blood tests with her family physician, and we initiated therapy. Well, the therapy has comforted her, and tests that came back that were run through her family physician turned out that she does have Sjogren's syndrome, which is a systemic disease with other issues that she is addressing now, as this systemic disease is also associated with rheumatoid arthritis, which she was found to have, and other things as well. The bottom line is, if your symptoms are not improving, then if you're not getting an explanation that is satisfactory to you, by all means, get a second opinion. Do not be satisfied. Do not give up. There are answers. Seek out the answers. Do not be satisfied. Okay, now, it is, as I always say, it is good to listen to this show, but it is even better to call in and ask your question. Everyone has issues. We all have medical issues sooner or later. If not for us, then our loved ones, family members, and neighbors. Call in. Get your questions answered. You can also email me with any comments, questions, as well as requests for future topics that we cover. On our website, Off the homepage, the bottom left-hand corner, is a button that will take you to the Radio Healthcare Clinic page, and on that page is a list of or the calendar of topics that we'll be covering all the way into January. But again, feel free to email me. Off the homepage of the website is a Contact Us button. You can email me requests for future topics as well as comments and questions. Now, to this week's topic, which is fibromyalgia, we have the good fortune of joining us is Dr. Harris McElwain, who is a board-certified rheumatologist and geriatric medicine specialist with the Tampa Medical Group, which is one of the largest rheumatology practices in Florida. Dr. McElwain has written 26 health books, including Diet for a Pain-Free Life, The Fibromyalgia Handbook, Reversing Osteopenia, Pain-Free Arthritis, and Pain-Free Back. Dr. McElwain is the father of six children, two daughters, Dr. Laura Cruz and Dr. Kimberly Smith, who are both rheumatologists. His son, Dr. Michael McElwain, is a pediatric dentist, and daughter Gina McElwain is a chef graduating from Le Cordon Bleu. And in his free time, he coaches youth soccer, including a national championship team. Harris, it's great to have you here today.
Well, thanks.
And we have already a caller from Land of Lakes. Laura, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic with Steve Maskin. And our guest today, Dr. Harris McElwain, do you have a question about fibromyalgia?
Well, I do have fibromyalgia and arthritis, and I was just wondering, what is an alternative to regular medicine?
What have you tried so far, Laura?
I can't remember. Very
all right. Harris, how would you respond?
Well, the way to treat fibromyalgia successfully is not just medication. In fact, medication is the last thing to use. It's a combination of moist heat, like hot shower, hot bathtub, whirlpool, or even hot towels, exercises. And exercises can be a challenge because most people with fibromyalgia hurt so much, so long, and after they do any sort of exercise or activity, the fatigue and exhaustion hits. So we tend to just gradually do less and less exercise. So it's very important to know how to do that. And the way to do that exercise is very slowly start with just one of each of basic exercise in the morning and one of each one at night. We suggest that you do those either in the shower or in the hot bathtub or in the whirlpool. But the point is do very, very low levels of exercise, so low that you feel fine. You don't have the exhaustion, fatigue, and pain afterwards. And then every few days, you gradually increase the level a little bit.
Harris, are these resistance-free exercises? In other words, do not use weights initially?
Correct. At first, these are resistance-free. They're simple range of motion and stretching exercise. But as you do them and increase the repetitions up to the goal of 20 of each exercise twice a day in the water or right afterwards, you'll find you become much more flexible and comfortable doing them. And most people at some point will begin to add a little bit of resistance, like 1 pound or some very light resistance. And that increases the strength of the muscles. Another thing to do along the line of exercise to help the fatigue, which is also a terrible problem in fibromyalgia, is something a little bit more active, like walking or exercise bike. But at first, it almost always has to be walking. And we suggest that you start with 30 seconds or 1 minute a day. And the rule is when you come back, you should be no more exhausted or tired or painful than you were when you started. But then every day you add a few yards. And if you keep doing this, over a few weeks, the energy begins to improve slowly but surely. And then as you're doing the exercises, the pain and stiffness becomes better as well. There are a lot of complementary treatments that help, including things like Tai Chi and Qigong and yoga and Pilates. Many people like to get someone to assist them at your gym or as a personal trainer. However, it's very possible, and the majority of patients still do it on their own, because in the end, you have to do it on your own. So it's important to learn how to do it, start at a very low level, and there are many ways to achieve this. In our book, The Fibromyalgia Handbook, it goes through step by step and shows you how to do it without causing injury and gradually improving the pain. And then there are a lot of other things you can do. If you're overweight, you need to lose weight. There are many foods that help pain and decrease inflammation, and those can be put into your diet as you take out foods that can actually aggravate pain. And then there are a number of medications that are available. The two medications that are approved by the FDA for fibromyalgia are Lyrica and Cymbalta. There are many others that are used. Many of them are the older antidepressants, which are used in very tiny doses that don't actually help depression, but many people get some nice relief of pain and fatigue. Then there are other medicines that can be used for pain and inflammation, depending on what other problems you have. And this is when you need to talk with your physician or your rheumatologist and become very specific and individualized in the treatment.
Now, is it really pain, or is it pain or inflammation? I was always under the assumption it's inflammation. And to me, it's pain. It's chronic pain all over my body. I also wondered, is hypothyroidism causes fibromyalgia?
Oh, that's a great question. I'll answer the second question first. If you have fibromyalgia, some of the investigations include looking at the thyroid to see if it's over or underactive, but because it can certainly change the symptoms and make them worse. On the other hand, we don't have any evidence that it actually creates fibromyalgia. Many people who have fibromyalgia also have a coexistent thyroid problem, which of course needs to be treated, and your physician can help you do that. As far as inflammation and pain, that's a really good question. And over the years, I'm sure you will remember that most of the treatments that fibromyalgia patients receive if they go to a healthcare practitioner, the first medicine is often an anti-inflammatory drug that are used for arthritis. It turns out that those usually aren't very helpful. Some of them, like the Celebrex and before that the Vioxx or Bextra, actually have some pain-relieving qualities, and they may help the pain. But in general, there's not a lot of inflammation, and other medicines do very well, and you're very correct that it's pain, not really inflammation.
Now, Laura, we'll be taking a very, very quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to get your input as far as what are the things that Dr. McElwain has reviewed that you can perhaps focus in on, maybe get some more information to give you more specifics and details as to how to get control of this thing, okay?
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for Townhall.com. Voters in three states recently voted against same-sex marriage. So why is this back in court again? Because we have allowed courts to reinvent themselves as agents of social change. The founders expected courts to be the weakest of the branches of government, providing a check when the executive or legislative branches stepped out of bounds. But now courts take the initiative, becoming both the protagonist and the decision-maker. In both California and Massachusetts, same-sex marriage was initiated by a one-judge majority. A liberal friend of mine says he now believes society would have been better off if the political branches had decided abortion, not the courts. It might have taken longer, he said, but there would have been a better acceptance of the outcome. I'm David Davenport.
Do you realize it's easier to make money in real estate by buying low than selling high? Hi, I'm Roger Schlesinger, the Mortgage Minute Guy. Contact us and we'll show you how that works.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
Lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, and welcome back. We are at the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin. We have with us today expert on fibromyalgia and rheumatology, Dr. Harris McElwain. We're talking with Laura from Lando Lakes, who called in to ask about therapies for fibromyalgia. Laura, Harris has reviewed a number of the therapies in a general sense. Is there what's the things that he has identified that may work for you? Maybe we can review some more specifics about those.
Well, I guess I'm trying to step up and maybe get out and walk and move.
How about, are you walking presently at all?
No, I wouldn't say no. Not on a daily basis, no. No. With fibromyalgia and arthritis goes hand in hand depression because of the pain and the fatigue, so... just getting myself, mind and to thinking to do this, to just,
Let me ask, Harris, you mentioned foods. There's some foods that can decrease inflammation and pain. Can you be specific?
Sure. Especially in arthritis, but we find that it works in fibromyalgia as well. Some foods tend to increase the body's production of the chemicals that make pain and also create inflammation for those that have arthritis of other types. Generally, there are specific foods that aggravate inflammation and pain. The most common are those that include red meats, animal fats, and it's been shown that these foods increase the body's production of the chemicals that create pain and inflammation. So we suggest that a diet be planned that includes protein that is mainly plant and fish-based with some turkey and chicken, but that helps eliminate that component of it. Another general class of foods that makes it easy to remember are those that are cooked at high heat because that tends to cause production of chemicals that also increase the pain and inflammation. Then there are many vegetables that actually decrease inflammation. Blueberries, dark cherries, a lot of other fruits that generally lower inflammation. We put this together in the form of a specific diet called the pain-free diet that gives specific suggestions on menu items and dietary items. And it can be done, and it works. And usually within a few weeks of changing your diet, the pain gets better. As a secondary benefit, it's a very easy way to lose weight. And in fibromyalgia and in arthritis, we find that weight loss of even 10 pounds can make a really big difference in pain, especially in the back, especially in the knees. All of this comes from the problem, as you have said, and you have so much company, that it hurts so much, you just don't do very much. And in fibromyalgia, after you do even a little activity, like going to the grocery store, it may take hours to recover. Patients go to Busch Gardens or Disney, it takes them a week to recover. So as a result, most patients just say, well, I'm just not going to do that. And they get less and less active. And then, as you can guess, it causes more problems with the family. You just don't feel very good, and it aggravates depression. So this has to be reversed. But you can do it, and the way to do it is start out literally a step at a time. The hot water, the very simple stretching and strengthening exercises that you can do, because everybody can do one of the exercises, and that's where you start. And then you do two, then three, then four, then five. Everybody can walk a few yards, and that's where you start. And then you just gradually increase it every day. And believe it or not, within a few weeks, you'll notice a nice difference in the pain, the stiffness, and begin to turn around that vicious cycle.
And I might say that the book that Harris has authored, the fibromyalgia book, is replete with tips as to how to get control of this disease. And I've been reading through it, flipping through it, and I think it's a tremendous service, Harris, that you've done here by putting these thoughts in writing and really written for the consumer without medical training to really, get their arms around this problem and take control of it. So maybe would you comment where people can find your book, The Fibromyalgia Handbook?
It's easy to get from Amazon.com. They'll ship it, or Barnes & Noble, or most bookstores.
It sounds like a good book, Pain-Free Diet.
Well, there's that. I guess you've written that book
that
too,
one.
Right?
Right. The Pain-Free Diet. The Pain-Free Diet just goes into more detail of the things we were just speaking about, and giving specific reasons and the rationale, and talks about specific foods and menu items, and makes it pretty simple to follow.
Okay. Laura, we wish you the best of luck with this. We know you can do it one day at a time. Pick up the book, and it'll be your companion as you get control of this disease.
And thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. We have a little bit of time left before our next break. Harris, how would you define fibromyalgia?
Well, fibromyalgia is defined as chronic pain everywhere. So pain that's been there for more than 3 to 6 months, it's all over your body. It's in the neck, the back, the arms, the legs. The official definition is in the right half of the body, in the left half of the body, in the upper half of the body, in the lower half of the body. And as fibromyalgia patients will tell, there are points over the body that are very tender to touch. We call these trigger points. And they're over the back of the neck and the arms and the knees and the hips and the elbows. And there are about 18 that have been selected by the American College of Rheumatology to try to get some consistent idea of who really has fibromyalgia so we can treat it. And that's what allowed many of the newer treatments to become available, including a lot of new medicines that can help the pain, the stiffness, and the fatigue.
Okay, we'll be back in a flash with more on fibromyalgia. This is the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Focus, focus, oh yeah, the focus, focus. With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A couple of Republican senators may be letting the air out of a Democratic plan to bail out the auto industry. Richard Shelby and John Kyle tell us on the interview programs that spending $25 billion of the financial industry bailout to help U.S. automakers would just put off their inevitable demise. But Democrat Carl Levin of Michigan claims the companies are trying to adapt to the marketplace and just need a little bit of time. With more than 34 square miles now burned, firefighters are hoping to take advantage of calmer winds today to rein in wildfires raging in parts of Southern California. No deaths are reported, but police are searching the rubble of a mobile home park where 500 homes were destroyed. A tsunami warning issued in Indonesia. A local geological agency says the country has been hit by a 7.7 magnitude quake, hence the warning. We'll see what happens as the day plays out. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, my name is Bill.
Barack Obama is the next president of the United States.
So let us summon a new spirit.
Is he the answer to some of the problems facing America?
Our climb will be steep.
Can he lead this country out of an economic downturn?
I promise you, we as a people will get there.
And how will his policies affect you?
I need your help, and I will be your president too.
Now more than ever, Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Saturday afternoon at 3, the Terry Schindler Schiavo Foundation presents America's Lifeline.
We have an obligation to protect vulnerable people, and we have an obligation as a society to ensure that medical ethics are not corrupted. I would criticize people who are not in that kind of an extremist, who say, oh, well, who am I to say anything about it? Well, let's just do away with suicide prevention. I mean, do we give a damn about each other anymore, or don't we?
Only on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 18 years and is board certified, fellowship trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2008 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please visit drmaskin.com. And if you've not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin. We're talking about fibromyalgia today with Dr. Harris McElwain. And from Colorado, we have a caller, Liz. Liz, do you have a question on fibromyalgia?
Hi. I recently was diagnosed with fibromyalgia after we did, you know, every possible test for everything else. And I was just wondering what the focus is as far as the research. I've read that there may be some connections to neurotransmitters and also the connection with sleep or lack thereof. I was just wondering, what's the latest?
Good question. Harris?
You know, so we're not dealing with Band-Aids all the time, but, you know, who's figuring out where this thing comes from?
Yeah, those are great questions, and you're right. It's what we really want to do is fix the problem rather than just continue the Band-Aids. The sleep problem is very much a part of fibromyalgia. It's an essential part, and it may be from many causes. Some people have a separate sleep disorder, which actually can be treated separately. But the pain, the fatigue, contributes to the lack of sleep. And what we find is when the sleep gets better, then the pain gets better. When the pain gets better, the sleep gets better. The latest research suggests that the fibromyalgia, is one of the basic processes, if not the central process, is the brain changes its processing of pain. Now, we don't know what triggers this off, and it may even be more than one thing, but the brain interprets the stimulations that come from the arms, the legs, the neck, the back, so that things that aren't usually painful are interpreted by the brain as really painful. And those things that are maybe mildly painful are interpreted by the brain as terrible pain. So that's why many people with fibromyalgia, even pretty abruptly, can just change. And over a very short period of time, they notice a difference in their pain tolerance, that things that used to not be very painful are incredibly painful. Whether it's activity, whether it's pain on pressure and doing things around the house or at work. And it just builds on itself. Now, we don't really know what triggers that off, but that's the current most accepted theory as to why fibromyalgia patients have so much pain.
Harris, is this the onset usually gradual or can it be acute?
You know, it's most commonly gradual, but we see patients all the time that after a severe illness or after a major operation or after an injury, commonly after a car accident, injury to the neck, injury to the back, it used to be thought that in these cases, well, there must be something wrong psychologically with that patient. They had an auto accident, now they have fibromyalgia. But it's not that simple, probably there's some way that the body reacts that changes the way it responds and interprets pain. And that sounds complicated, and we don't know a lot more about it, but there's a lot of scientific evidence that that's the case.
How about patients that are, say quadriplegic, those or have had, you know, complete spinal cord damage, you know, transection, for example, those patients increase their tendency to have fibromyalgia?
Not really. They probably have less tendency to have it if they've had severe damage to the spinal cord. But in those that have had less severe damage, but the kind of damage you get with the whiplash or fall or other types of injury to the spine seem to be one of the ways that this gets triggered off. However, by no means is it the only way. And most patients who have those injuries don't get fibromyalgia. So there's a lot we don't understand. We also see patients who have it develop after a very serious illness or after a major operation and illness. And then probably the most common time it comes on is just happens. And we don't really know why. It can happen at most ages. Even teenagers have it, older people have it, but more commonly in the 20s, 30s, 40s, more commonly in women than men. It used to be thought that it was almost exclusively in women, but the later figures now think maybe 75-80% of patients are probably women. It's a little bit more common in men than it used to be thought.
And so what you're saying then is that it's primarily a nervous condition. It's not a muscular, or it may manifest itself with muscular symptoms, but if it's felt to be the way the brain processes signals, then it's essentially a neurologic condition?
The current thinking is that the most evidence is that, yes, that's the way the nerves and the brain process pain. and it shows in our bodies as pain in the muscles and the tendons and ligaments and around the joints. We consider it a form of arthritis, but it truly is in the muscles and tendons and ligaments and the neck, back, arms, legs. As any patient with fibromyalgia will tell you, it's everywhere. It's all over. It's terrible.
Liz, do you have a follow-up question?
Maybe if you have just a moment, you could give me a – you could be my second opinion. As a child, I remember being more sensitive to pain than my peers. I was also diagnosed with major depressive disorder about 10 years ago, but we know that the depression went way back. I've also had chronic insomnia since I was 12. And then when I was 16, I was in a bad car accident involving a head injury. And on top of that, I have restless leg syndrome.
How old are you now?
I'm 40.
Okay.
So, you know, there's this big soup, and you can imagine all the tests I've had just to try to identify why I ache all over. So I'm just wondering if these conditions or symptoms are consistent with fibromyalgia. So, you know, just to sort of get a second opinion on my recent diagnosis.
Yeah, the definition of fibromyalgia is chronic widespread pain everywhere, arms, legs, neck, back, with the typical trigger points over the neck, back, arms, legs, and no other explanation. It certainly sounds like that would be a very high consideration in your case. Commonly along with it, there's a lot of stiffness in the morning. Fatigue is usually terrible, but it's not part of the definition. But in our patients that we see, number one problem is pain. Number two, very close behind, is terrible fatigue.
Yeah, my psych doctor also prescribed a I won't get the name over the air, but a stimulant, essentially, because of the fatigue, which he was assuming was just depression related. And that's been a big help for me, but it's certainly not recommended for everyone.
It's easy to see how these problems interact.
Right.
If you hurt all over and you have chronic pain, then you tend to get more depressed. If you get more depressed, you don't stay very active. And so you withdraw in activity. You withdraw even your social interaction. The muscles get weaker, the pain gets worse, and then the vicious cycle continues. You don't sleep very well at night. And I say you, but this is the typical fibromyalgia patient. So this all has to be reversed. And the way to reverse it is step by step with all of this, the hot water, the exercises, the medication, the diet, and definitely the medication. And when there are, along with it, problems like depression or lack of sleep, medicines can be very effective.
Do you – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I for the benefit of your listeners, I'd just like to back up what the remedies that you were talking about earlier. I've actually been trying to, you know, make myself feel better for years, and I've been a vegetarian for 15 years because I thought that might help. I'm, you know, normal weight. I do – gentle forms of exercise such as cross-country skiing, yoga, Pilates, even some belly dancing. you know, I do try to keep my stress levels down and rest. And I've found that, of course, we have hot springs here, and massage helps a lot, and I'm about to try acupuncture. Anyone listening that hasn't tried any of these things yet, and of course, I am already on an antidepressant medication, and I can just imagine if I hadn't done all these things, how much worse I might feel.
Harris, would you weigh in on acupuncture?
Yeah, acupuncture is definitely worthwhile to try. It's one of the complementary treatments, many of which you've already mentioned, and we believe that those are all very, very acceptable, very, very recommended to try. What we find is that many people find some combination of acupuncture, massage, chiropractic, Tai Chi, Pilates, Qigong, some combination, yoga, that they find benefit. And although acupuncture doesn't help everyone who tries it, if it gives you 20-30% relief, that would be great. Mm-hmm. And you can combine it with some of the other treatments.
How about caffeine? Something to stay away from if you've got fibromyalgia?
I think it's not extremely important either way. However, because the sleep problem is common, be careful about caffeine. If you have caffeine, especially later in the day, it could easily affect your sleep pattern. Some people feel better with it as a stimulant in the morning, but I would be very careful about the total amount you take and maybe talk with your healthcare practitioner about the amount of caffeine you take, and maybe even try taking it out of the diet. In our pain-free diet, we find it helpful in many cases to avoid caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Liz, follow up?
No, just a big thank you.
Okay.
And I appreciate the show, and I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Liz. It's great to having you aboard. Okay. We have a caller from Tampa. John, you're on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Do you have a question on fibromyalgia?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We're going to ask you to ask a question, and then we're going to have a quick break and then come back and respond. Go for it.
Okay. Dr. McElwain, I'm wondering, my wife's tired all the time. What the difference is between chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia is?
Okay. There we are. Okay. And we'll be right back on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic to help John help his wife. Right back.
Profile America, Sunday, November 16th. November is set aside each year as National Diabetes Month. The goal is to make the public more aware of the serious nature of the disease and how to detect and control it. When our bodies are unable to maintain a normal blood sugar level, many complications may follow, including kidney failure. The disease is also the leading cause of new cases of blindness. Diabetes in the U.S. is on the rise, and some public health experts even refer to it as an epidemic, fueled by our overweight and inactive lifestyle. One widely debated study says drinking even one regular soda a day greatly increases the risk of contracting diabetes. Across the country, more than 74,000 people a year die from complications of the disease. Profile America is in its 12th year as a public service of the U.S. Census Bureau.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Conversation that I can grasp, and not the mumbo jumbo that
insured last. I want more understanding about my health and my life.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. I'm Steve Maskin, and on the line is John from Tampa, calling on behalf of his wife, asking about the difference between chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. John, you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, Harris?
Well, it's a great question because fatigue is so much a part of fibromyalgia. The number one complaint of fibromyalgia patients is pain, and 99% have it. The number two complaint that goes along with that is fatigue, and it's the kind of fatigue that can be really exhausting. As we mentioned earlier, you go to the grocery store and it takes you hours to recover. You go on a short trip and it takes you days or weeks to recover, so that the fatigue becomes a huge limitation. And we consider that part of the fibromyalgia. We find that when the fibromyalgia pain gets better, the fatigue gets better as well. Now, there's a separate problem of fibromyalgia, of fatigue, called the chronic fatigue syndrome. And this is an interesting topic that isn't very clear, but it generally happens to someone who has sore throats, the lymph nodes in the neck swell a lot, and they have terrible fatigue. But basically, it's when you've had fatigue for 3 to 6 months that really isn't explained, even though you've been to your healthcare practitioner and they haven't found any causes. It's not very well understood, but what we find is a lot of patients with fibromyalgia start out diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome.
Okay, so they actually can initially present with the sore throat, lymph nodes, and fatigue and evolve into the classic fibromyalgia?
Commonly does that. And when in that phase where there's a sore throat and lymph node enlargement, many people have tests for the EB virus, the mononucleosis virus, and are positive. So that's become linked with that as well. But basically, it isn't a very clear syndrome. It doesn't have any specific treatments, and it's treated mainly symptomatically. Extremely important to make sure there are no other causes, and your healthcare practitioner can help you do that. If it becomes more typical of the pain and all the tender points and more typical of the clinical fibromyalgia, then we just treat the fibromyalgia and the fatigue gets better.
Okay. John, you have a follow-up question?
Not really, but I think this is definitely some good information that we can follow up on with our doctor.
Okay. Would you like to share with us what you all are dealing with? Is it more of a chronic fatigue situation or fibromyalgia? What have you observed? What do you think?
My impression is that, the fatigue is very regular and it is ongoing, and so that's why we were wondering if it's a little bit more than just chronic fatigue, and that's why we're kind of just educating ourselves on the fibromyalgia. So.
Did she have the sore throat and the enlarged lymph nodes?
I would say maybe the enlarged lymph nodes, but the regular complaints. But with being sick here and there, it's like, well, what is it, what isn't, we're trying to figure that out. So.
And how long has she had the symptoms for?
I'd say several months now.
Okay, so, Harris, would you think at this point in time it may resolve itself soon or may evolve? It's too early to tell?
I think the best step would be to go see your healthcare practitioner or physician and make sure there is not some other medical problem causing this, and then follow it. It's still a little bit early, but see how it evolves, whether it goes more along the lines of fatigue without other problems, which is can be difficult to decide early, or whether she develops more typical pain all over with the typical trigger points as well as the fatigue.
And I'm hearing young kids in the background.
Yeah, we have a few kids.
And certainly that could be a component of the symptom profile here, perhaps.
Well, it's a component of me being tired, that's for sure.
Listen, John, I want to thank you very much for calling in, and feel free to call back for any other topic of interest to you, your family, your loved ones.
All right, thanks for your help.
You bet. Okay, so we were talking about what is fibromyalgia, and you made it, Harris, you made a very specific point of emphasizing that the pain is everywhere. And I asked that because I, you know, personally, on breaks, I asked Dr. McElwain, when I operate, my traps, my shoulders would get sore after a while. And he responded that really fibromyalgia is pain that is everywhere, literally everywhere. So if you have focal pain or focal muscle discomfort aching, it is definitely not fibromyalgia. Correct, Harris?
It doesn't fit the diagnosis, the criteria. When you have pain in the neck or the shoulders, some people can have very severe pain across the upper part of the back and the neck and the shoulders, but nowhere else. So, no, that wouldn't fit the accepted general criteria for fibromyalgia. Remember that fibromyalgia probably is a spectrum of more, a pretty big area, but we try to keep it objective so we can plan the new treatments, and so everyone will know that this patient really has fibromyalgia that we're treating. There are so many new medicines, so many new treatments, that everyone with fibromyalgia should be very encouraged that it's likely in the next few years there'll be a medicine that can help them tremendously. But we really believe that that is along with the entire program, the hot water, the exercises, the complementary treatments, the diet, weight control, and it really does work. Even though most patients are symptomatic and have been that way for many years, we find the very large majority of patients get better.
That's interesting. Could you further elaborate on that? Get better, is there a time frame? And can people get better without following these recommended therapies?
We find that those who have the best response are those who follow the entire program of the hot water, the exercises, the walking, or something a little bit more vigorous, finding the right combination of medicines, which is a little bit of a challenge, finding the right combination of complementary treatments, and then sticking with it.
Very good. Okay, well, we want to thank Dr. Harris McElwain for his expertise on fibromyalgia, and we will resume next Sunday. We have hypertension is our topic that we will focus upon, followed by reversing dry eye, osteoporosis, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's disease, cornea blindness, and the newer, better transplant, uterine fibroids, and what is causing my chest pain, which will take us into mid-January. Again, you can get that calendar on of topics on the website, along with the expert physicians that will be with me on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We'll see you next week.
The Focus on Females Healthcare Education programs are for you. Visit our free 4th Annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 21st, 2009, at the Tampa Convention Center. And listen every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic on Talk Radio 860 WGUL. Learn more at www.focusonfemales.com.